streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
With the block punt, I'm wondering what you saw there in terms of schematically, or just what allowed you to kind of take advantage of that.
Yeah, just Coach Bonifa, we've been holding up all game, and we wanted to do a little switch up, so we sent all the guys to the punter. Thankfully, I was the one who became free, and just slammed it. You know,
have you done that before?
That was my first block punt. It felt great. It hurt my hand. It was cold. It was rainy. It was wet. But, you know, sacrifice your body, glorify your soul.
This safety competition has obviously just been ongoing throughout the offseason, throughout the season, into now. What has that been like in terms of just the daily competition as you guys have sort of been angling for those positions and those opportunities?
Yeah, I mean, it's been fun, honestly. You know, we're always competing outside of football. Whether it's video games and, you know, pick up basketball outside. But, you know, we're always competing, and then at the end of the day, you know, we're all best friends, we're all brothers. But, yeah, I mean, like, we're still competing right now. Like, nobody's job is safe at the end of the day. So, you know, even though I'm starting right now, you know, Asa Turner, all those guys, I mean, if I don't do what I'm supposed to be doing, their next guy's up, and they know that, and I know that.
How would you evaluate, obviously, you're three games in, but just your performance to this point and what has allowed you to kind of secure, for now, one of those positions?
Again, just competing, just knowing all the spots are up for grabs. Obviously, you know, last year kind of was my first start. At the DB spot, and you know, I kind of felt the same way, where you know, my spot was never secure, so I always had to keep getting better and finding ways just to never get complacent, just keep going, because I don't want to lose that starting spot.
What's that like, kind of having so many talented people like around you? I mean, you've had a ton of NFL guys that you've been able to learn from, the guys that are in the NFL now. I mean, just waiting your turn, and maybe like when it's so easy to transfer away, what keeps you staying here?
What keeps me staying here, man, is honestly the brotherhood. Like I said, like all these guys are my best friends. Like these are the guys I'm gonna have in my marriage one day. Some of them are gonna be some of my best men, groomsmen, whatever that may be. So I mean, if I'm not playing, I'm still gonna find a way to impact this team, whether it's scout team, special teams like I've done in the past, or should I even switch over to offense if they need a look? But I'm staying here because this is my family, this is my brotherhood, this is my home.
Alex, it seems like college football is changing every day, and the school just announced today that Emeka Megwa is passing up his senior year of football in Texas, and he's enrolled in school. Any reaction to that? I mean, would you have done something like that if you had the opportunity?
Can you repeat that last part? You said,
well, running back from Texas, supposed to play senior year this year. He just enrolled in the UW today, and Jeff, they put out
a game. It's official. He's coming.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can he join the team right away, Jeff?
Yep.
Really?
What do you think about that, Alex, since I've broken the news to you?
I mean, that's awesome. I mean, you know, adding new players is always cool. We'll bring him in, we'll embrace him just like everybody else, like all the freshmen. I'm happy he's here.
Do you know him very well?
I don't know him at all, but we're happy to have him here.
I don't think he's starting Saturday, but I guess he's eligible.
Oh, he's eligible to play.
Yeah, you probably see him in practice.
Oh, dang. I didn't even know that works like that. Well, shoot, that's awesome. Let's get him here, get him on board, get him ready. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I was wondering, with Cal, obviously you weren't really playing in the 2019 game, I'm guessing. You were you on defense at that point? Or were you
I was on defense. That was the first year I switched over, so I was kind of just learning everything again.
You're obviously watching film and everything, and I think their personnel, what they try to get done, is probably fairly similar to UW. But what makes them difficult in terms of the way that they scheme the run and just the way that they run things offensively?
Yeah, I mean, they have obviously those big backs. That's always something to take into consideration. And they go a lot of heavy personnel sets. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's football. I mean, you got to put your big boy pads on at a certain point. You just can't always drop back in coverage. You got to, you know, put your big boy pads on, put your working hat on, and go hit something.
Do you look forward to that? I mean, obviously, safety
that is why I switched over. To hit somebody. I love it. Just like Michigan, they want to run the ball. Fine. Let's do it. Put your big boy pads on. Let's do it.
Speaking of switching over, when all those receivers went down before the opener, was there any thought of moving you back to after defense?
You know, I thought about that. I was like, dang, what if I never even switched over? I'd probably be the main receiver right now. But nah, I didn't think about switching over. Obviously, I was still competing for the starting spot at that time, so I wasn't really worried about what the offense was doing. Kind of just worrying about what we were doing schematically and just still trying to compete for that starting spot.
Keeping the big plays, Coach Lake has mentioned that all the big run plays are on the secondary.
Yeah.
Is there something you guys have been working on in practice to make sure that doesn't happen, or how do you feel that you guys have kind of progressed in that way?
Yeah, I mean, like you just said, all big plays run through the DB room. You know, if the defense line doesn't fit a gap correctly, and it spills to the linebackers don't tackle it. Now it's up on the DBs, free safety, strong safety, whoever it may be. And, you know, at the end of the day, they look at who the last line of defense is. They don't look at what happened in the front. They look at, you know, the defensive backs to get the ball down. But in terms of schematics, I mean, you know, being a safety, that's our job, is to get the ball down when everything breaks through. So, I mean, it doesn't matter what covers we're in. It could be cover one, cover two, cover three, cover four. It doesn't matter. We need to get the ball down at the end of the day.
Alex, as a Sacramento kid, I kind of wonder, did you follow Cal growing up? Did you follow Cal Washington? Do you know a lot of guys on that team? Just give me your thoughts, all those thoughts.
Yeah, I feel like I was brainwashed to go to that school a little bit. I mean, coming out of high school, you know, a lot of my family grew up in that Berkeley area, Oakland area. My dad's from East Oakland, so, you know, Cal's a big influence on him, even though he didn't go there. So, you know, I thought about Cal a lot. Before I even came here, I had all Cal sweatshirts. I was Cal'd out. I mean, like, that was the school to go to. But, you know, once I matured, grew up a little bit, kind of shied away from Cal, started to look at other schools. Obviously, I found my love at UW.
Does that make you a little extra excited for weeks like this?
I can't wait. My grandpa, I have family that are Cal alums, so, you know, they're always talking mess. But obviously, they're still supporting me, but they're talking mess, and that just fires me up. I just can't wait to get out there.
What were you going to say about your grandpa?
He lives up the street from Berkeley. He was like, oh, yeah, if you come to Berkeley, you can get my truck and stay in my house, whatever, rent free. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm going to UW, baby. Melvin Cook.
Was he disappointed
with your decision?
What's that?
Was he disappointed with your decision?
Nah. I actually brought him up for my official visit. He was the main one I brought up here. And he was like, okay, I understand. So, yeah.
Are you going to have a lot of family up for this game?
Yeah. So my dad, my uncle, or my godfather, my godbrother, and my girlfriend obviously lives out here. And, yeah. So the people that are coming up here, Stanford, that one, when we go down the Bay Area, that's going to be crazy. We might have like 30, 40 people coming.
Right on. Hey, I remember you talking about your interest in construction and things like that. What are you doing school-wise right now, and kind of where are you at with all that?
So, yeah, growing up, I've always wanted to do construction management. I took a building trade. I was in the building trades program in high school, where I was, you know, building sheds, Built a doghouse for my grandfather we just talked about. It was like a 7x5 doghouse. It was like a mini house. And now I fell in love with that. But once I had my back injury earlier this year, kind of fell in love with chiropractic. And that's what I want to pursue after football is all said and done. So I want to go to chiropractor school after football.
Alex, I'm wondering if you're aware of Trent and McDuffie and Kyler Gordon's interception competition. They said that the first guy has to buy the other one a video game. Do you have to say in whether you're going to maybe get the first pick and try to get your hands on a game?
Yeah, so I'm a part of that conversation, but I'm not. I said whoever gets the first pick is dinner on me wherever they want to go. I don't really play video games, so I don't really care about video games. I just want to go out to eat, get some foco de chow or something.
Have you seen Kyler kind of step into that corner spot this year?
Oh man, he's one of the most athletic people I've ever seen in my life. And if a dude is going to step into a role like that, it's going to be Kyler. No, I mean, I don't see any better person put in that role but Kyler.
Hey, Alex, with the turnover situation, obviously you kind of got off the shine a little bit the last week. In the first two games, it was very difficult, obviously, to create something. What is it about the ability to get the ball? You know, because I know Coach Harris always says good defenses score, get the ball back.
Correct.
How difficult was it early, and what helped you get off the shine there last weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I think offense and defense, in terms of our offense and our defense, work hand in hand. You know, I feel like once our offense puts up enough points on the board, the defense is forced to throw the ball, their offense is forced to throw the ball, and which works into our favor because, you know, we're all about hits and picks and PBUs. So once the ball's in the air, man, I mean, I feel like we won.
You guys, a lot of you guys have those undershirts. What do they read on them?
Death Row Dogs. Can you see?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Same old logo. Yes, sir.
How you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
All well.
With the whole Death Row situation, when you got here, I mean, did you know about sort of the culture of this defense, or how did you kind of learn about the history and sort of the reputation that defense upholds?
As I grew up, my brother went to the University of Utah, so I was very understanding of the University of Washington's defense. I always knew what that was from Shaq Thompson, Greg Ducre, those guys back then. So I've always heard of it, and now that I actually am in it, I got to really embrace the culture from the inside out, so I got to see it. So I've always known about it, but now I get to actually see it. Yes, sir.
How tough was it for you to leave Oklahoma after being a three-year starter and being one of the premier programs in the country?
You said how tough was it?
Yeah, how tough was it?
It's life. It's life. You have to make great decisions for yourself. You have to keep going forward. And I feel as if I had a great time in Oklahoma. I made long-lasting friendships with my peers, great relationships with my coaches, the faculty, the staff. I love my time at Oklahoma. But as a person, in order for me to keep growing forward, I felt as if I needed to make a change, and I did, and I loved the decision I made.
You mentioned the other night that, you know, one of the things that brought you to Washington was you wanted to keep growing.
Yes.
What about Washington made that the place you felt like you could do that?
Coach Lake, Will Harris, Terrence Brown, the DB culture, the DB room, just everything about our defense, everything about this, the DB culture. I felt as if I wanted to be in that and I could produce a growth. Yes, ma'am.
What about Washington? I'm assuming you want to go play in the NFL.
Yes.
What about Washington, you know, can allow you to produce you to do something like that?
One more time, sir. No problem, no problem.
Washington will allow you to eventually end up in the NFL.
Yes, the University of Washington defense specifically, we play with a lot of different gadgets and a lot of different ways. Sometimes you'll see four DBs, sometimes you'll see five. There's times we play with six, there's times we play with seven DBs. So I personally have never seen that at any other school in the country, but University of Washington defense.
I don't know. I didn't get a chance to watch you much at Oklahoma. I don't know if you were a nickel, if you were on the corner. But has it been an adjustment for you to play at nickel compared to what you did at Oklahoma?
No, sir. I my freshman year, I played strong safety in nickel. My sophomore year, I played nickel. My junior year, I played nickel. And here, I play nickel, safety, and sometimes I rotate around the corner. But you said the transition. Really, nickel is nickel. Here, you're the quarterback of the defense. You have to be a lot more vocal. A lot of people are listening to you, and you have to get guys lined up, and you have to find the fast guy. Whoever the fastest guy is on the field, that's who you have to guard.
Being in that role, which carries with it, like you said on Saturday, a lot of responsibility,
yes, sir,
beyond just playing your game.
Yes.
And you're following this tradition where Elijah Molden was great in that role, Miles Bryant was great in that role.
Yes.
How familiar are you with those guys? Have you spoken with any of those guys? What's that connection like, if at all?
All the time. I'm, like I said, sir, I'm human. I'm going to have errors. I'm going to make mistakes. Everything is going to happen to me just as them. So when I go through times, I call Elijah. Literally last week, I'll call Elijah if something comes up, and he'll tell me how he dealt with it. And it gives me a perspective. It shows me that he went through it too, and he was able to flourish out of it and make his way to it. So I always, to answer your question, I always call Elijah. I always call Miles. We have a great relationship.
If you don't mind, what did you call about?
It was just a play specifically. My feet work. We were changing my feet work specifically. I have two jobs on a specific play, and I was just asking him how did he do it? How did he transition for it?
With this game, with the way that Cal does things, it's been tough.
Yes.
Tough for UW in 2019, and
yes,
they're obviously a big physical offense.
Yes.
What's the role of the nickel? What's your role in terms of trying to focus on stopping their run and their bigger backs?
For the nickel specifically versus a run game, or for the nickel specifically, you have run responsibility and you have pass responsibility, but it's making sure that in the run support, you know what gap you specifically have, you see what you need to see so that you're able to get to that gap as fast as possible. And then once you're in the gap, it's having just the mentality of making sure you go low, wrapping up and getting the ball carrier to the ground, period. Simple as that.
Jimmy Lake said he recruited you out of high school. When you picked Oklahoma, were they the runner-up choice or among several choices, or where did the Huskies stand back then?
I'm trying to think. I don't remember specifically my top five or anything that like that coming out of high school, sir. I'm not sure. I just know I know I chose Oklahoma that day.
Were the Huskies a serious contender?
At the end of that, I'm not sure specifically, sir. I'm not sure. I don't want to lie to you.
No problem.
Yes, sir.
This has been written about a little bit, but I was wondering if you can just explain the Buki nickname and where that comes from.
The Buki nickname, to be completely honest with you, sir, that's just a mom and son thing. My mom, before I was even born, my mom was just, she was pregnant and she was just calling me Buki, like a little mom and son thing. My siblings caught on to it. My cousins caught on to it. And when I came out, that's what people were calling me. So I just stuck with it. So that's really the truth about it. Yes, sir.
Do you feel like this defense allows you to reach your full potential as a player? Or, I mean, what about this defense specifically, like, allows you to succeed? Excel.
You get to do a lot. You get to do a lot. You're in man-to-man. You're blitzing. You're dropping back in coverage. You're in the underneath coverage. You're in the deep defense coverage. You can't pinpoint the nickel. Okay, he's just gonna be in man. Oh, he's just gonna blitz. Okay, he does everything. He does everything. You have to have the mental capacity to handle all of it. But with great coaching staff like I have, and they let me ask as many as questions as I can without annoying them. They allow me to ask as many as questions so I can always have my notes. But like I said, the responsibility part, it allows you to do everything. Yes, sir.
When you decided to leave Oklahoma.
Yes, sir.
You must have called Washington and said.
Yes.
What was the reaction when you called? I mean, not too many Oklahoma guys, I think, call up the University of Washington and say, hey, I'm thinking of coming there. I do know one other, Tyrone Rogers from
okay.
The national championship team did that.
I love it.
But what was the reaction of maybe Jimmy Lake or Will Harris or whoever you talked to?
Yes, it was Coach Lake and I. We spoke about a lot of things. We spoke about who I was as a person, more so as a football player. We just talked about life in general. And then when we boiled it down to me making my decision to come to the University of Washington, we spoke about just the critiques, the urgency, the attention to detail, everything that I must bring to the table every day. And by me bringing that to the table, Coach Lake promised to bring his A game to the table of coaching me. So we had a mutual understanding of making sure we bring our best foot forward for this program. And it was a great moment. I was very elated. I was very happy.
I gotta say, you seem like really thoughtful. And I wonder, with the adversity that you went through the first couple weeks,
yes, sir,
of the season starting 0-2, what was, yes, kind of your self-talk going to the Arkansas State game and how you handled a lot of that?
Stay together, for sure. That's the first thing I think of in adverse situations, stay together. And overall, just having the mentality of back against the wall, I'm okay. I'm still poised. I'm okay in with adversity pushing towards me. I'm okay with holding my ground and playing my game of football, my brand of football, making sure I see what I see and executing my cues. So football is football at the end of the day, but like I said, back against the wall, you still have to execute. Yes, sir.
All right, let's wrap up and Coach Rowan up here and go to
the long. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Rip, I'm just curious, through three games, how you would evaluate where your defensive line has been and how they've played?
Just okay. You know, we gotta stop the run better. I think anytime you give up, you know, what we gave up versus Michigan, you know, you're never going to be happy about that. So we got to continue to grow and improve and, you know, keep getting better at getting off blocks and finishing plays and making tackles. You know, missed a lot of tackles that week two. So we gotta continue to get better.
What makes Cal a difficult team to defend in the run game?
They're a physical football team. They're physical up front. They play with a lot of tight ends. They got two backs that are, you know, 230 pounds, and they run hard. And even the quarterback, I mean, the quarterback's not a small guy. He's, you know, 6'3", 230. I mean, so they got big people, you know, big people handling the football. So that always makes it tough. You watch their games, those guys break a lot of tackles, man. They run the ball hard, and they fall forward. So, I mean, that's definitely something that they do really well and that we're gearing up for.
When you changed roles over the offseason, what would you want to bring to the office or defensive line? What did you really want to, what was your point of emphasis there?
I think the biggest thing is just energy, effort, and passion for the game. Like those big guys playing the game hard, running to the football, finishing plays. That was a big point of emphasis for us all season. And as far as the energy that they've been bringing, I've been pleased with. But, you know, we've got to have results on the field. We got to make more plays and get off blocks and tackle the ball carrier.
This is obviously, you know, a very proud defense and a proud defensive line. And when you have a game like Michigan where, you know, they run for 330 yards, what's the message to that group coming out of that to try to build off of an experience that I'm sure you were?
Yeah, I think the message is pretty clear right after the game. I mean, you don't have to say a whole lot. You know, they rushed for 330 yards. So everybody's pretty disappointed. But, you know, next day, we're in a 24-hour rule. You bury the game, and you got to get better from it, and you got to keep going on. You got 10 more opportunities after that game. So nobody's going to feel sorry for us, you know, after we play a team. Like, doesn't matter who you play. Nobody's going to feel sorry for you. Next opponent's not going to feel sorry for you. So we got to roll on. We got to learn from it and get better. And I think our guys did a good job of doing that next week. But now it's the same thing. Nobody's going to feel sorry for us. Nobody's going to think anything differently of us. Cal's not going to think that. So, I mean, we got to roll on and keep getting better and getting back to work.
So, Rip, of the two-man front, you had like four different starters this year, shuffling guys in, giving them a shot, I guess. Or I don't know if there's been injuries involved, but are these guys, would you consider them still young? Because nobody other than, I think Taki's the only one who started all last year and all this year. Are they still young and in development, or what? How would you describe it?
Yeah, I think we got a young group of guys. I mean, but I mean, I've been pleased with their poise and how they've handled these games. But yeah, you got a young group. You know, Taki and Thule played a lot or quite a bit as redshirt freshmen. But yeah, you're right. I mean, Taki was the only guy who started last year, and Thule and Bandis got some play last year, but it was only in four games. And so it's a young group, but you know, they're an eager group. They're an eager group to get better, and I've been pleased with their work ethic.
You had a couple true freshmen, Quao and Voy, who have gotten in there, which is not easy for an interior defensive lineman. What How have you seen those guys step up, and what's been your assessment of those guys through three games?
Like, I think I said it about a month ago. I mean, they're very poised individual. The moment's not too big for those guys, and they bring a great deal of energy to that group. I mean, you watch Void flying around on Saturdays, making tackles 30 yards downfield. I mean, so I've been very pleased with those guys and what they bring to the group, man. They're a breath of fresh air. And for the whole defense, I think, just being young and full energy every day, being the same, and it's been really good for our group.
You've got a lot of players in rotation on the D-line. How do you kind of work that through games? Is it situational, kind of scheme-based, or is it just who you feel is performing best, maybe?
Yeah, I think, you know, throughout the week, you watch how guys practice, you know, and if they earn those reps in practice, then I'm going to give them those reps. You know, I'd like to keep those guys somewhat kind of fresh, you know, for the second half of football games. But if they earn it in practice and they practice hard, then those guys will play. I'm a true believer in that.
He was one of those first guys who was playing in this past game, and obviously he's been playing a lot, but what has he done to earn those reps, and what's kind of the next step for him in his development?
Yeah, I mean, I see if you look at base, I mean, he was a starter week one for us in base. I see all three of those guys as, I guess, starters. But he's put it on tape in practice, and he's practiced really hard, and he's played hard, and he's made a couple plays, and it finally paid off this past week. But yeah, he's definitely earned those reps, and the kid shows up every day, and he works very hard. He's very smart. He knows the defense like the back of the hand, so he's definitely earned that.
What'd you see him do on the strip
set? He had really good tech. First of all, he's running through the ball. You know, we call him money tackles. Anytime a D lineman's making a tackle on the numbers, call it a money tackle. So that's a big time play because it's out there on the numbers. And he just tackled with great technique. It was great dog tackle, head out, strike zone hit, and good things happen when you do things the right way. So that was awesome. I was very happy for him. I think that was his first career sack too. So I mean, that's always fun to see.
Your position group has a real legacy here at Washington with Vita Vea and Grimes and Shelton and Levi. Do you guys talk about that? And who? I always thought maybe Latula Gassanon might be the next one, you know, to kind of fit that role that he's still, you know, learning his trade, I guess. Do you guys use that as all the legacy thing at all with these guys?
Yeah, I think the guys are very aware of it. I don't think we use it at all. I mean, we talk about more the tradition as a defense as a whole, like how we expect to play defense, you know, here at Washington. But I don't believe in comparisons. I'm like, hey, Tule, you gotta be like Vita Vea. I'm not a believer in that. I think comparisons are death. If you have an 18 to 22-year-old kid trying to compare himself to somebody who is a ninth-round draft pick and did all these great things, I mean, that's just not fair to ask of them. So, no, I think all those guys, whether it's Tule, Taki, any of them, it's like, no, don't compare yourself to anybody else. You got to be the best Tule or Taki or Jacob that you can be. You can't be anybody else. So, but yeah, those guys are aware of it. But, no, we don't talk about it as specifically D-line. We talk about it as a defense, as a whole, as a unit. All right, how we're supposed to play, what the standard is.
Hey, Rip, you talked about the rotations, keeping guys fresh. I was curious if there's a mentality like the running backs. They always talk about wanting to try to get into a rhythm or playing the hot hand, so to speak. Is there any, it sounds simple, but is there any sort of carryover to the defensive line? Do you see a guy playing well and all of a sudden, okay, we got to keep him in even if that's not the number of snaps that we thought he might play?
Well, I think you got to look at who you're playing too. Like Arkansas State, you know, they're a really up-tempo offense. They, you know, they're kind of trying to come in here and run 100 plays. Now, that didn't happen, but you have to, you know, if you're in a game like that, you got to play guys early, right? So, you know, you don't have maybe your starters playing 30 snaps in the first quarter or whatever it is. You got to keep guys fresh early. So, yeah, I think it depends on the game you're playing, the team you're playing, what type of offense they are. A lot of factors go into it. Also, how they practice. I mean, like I said, you know, if a guy doesn't earn the reps in practice, then he won't get them. And everybody in the room knows that. But, yeah, I think there is a rhythm factor into it, too. Yeah, you want guys to get in a groove, but especially with big guys, you got to keep them, you got to keep their energy up. So you got to spell them early.
Up front is Taki's got like 330-pound frame, and the rest of the guys are all considerably smaller. Do you need a big guy like that to plug the, you know, the line?
Yeah, I mean, size is great. I mean, yeah, absolutely. We would like to be, you know, big up front. That's the goal.
Moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.